Okay, as I was saying, we get our English word hilarious from that word propitiation, and not in the sense of hilarious like this is so funny. That's how we lose some things in the English language. It just means it's joyful. It's something that brings joy. And God is saying that his son, the work that his son performed, brought him joy. He was well satisfied with his son's performance. When he died on the cross, shed his blood for the remission of sins, he says, I'm pleased with that. That makes me hilarious. Like I said, we use that and we think of comedy, but that's how we lose things in the English language. He said, this makes me happy. I'm satisfied with this, with his work. And that is something that what pleases, I'll borrow one from the Lord, where when the Lord told Peter, he says, I'm about to go to the cross. And he said, and to be crucified. And he told, Peter told him, that won't happen. And he told Peter, do you know what he told Peter?
Get thee behind me, Satan.
Get thee behind me, Satan. He said, thou
art offense unto
me. He said, thou savorest
not
the things of God, but the things of man. You know, the savor is you're not satisfied with the things that God wants. You're satisfied. What makes you happy is the things of men. He says, I have to do this because, you know, there's a lot riding on the death of his son. And God knows that. That's something that as a church people that we still are trying to learn now is how satisfied should we be with the death of his son for us? That it's always his death plus something else. Oh, yeah, I know he died for my sins. But this, you have to do this. You have to add something on to it. And God says, I'm going to let you read it so you won't think I'm saying this. Verse 21. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. He said the righteousness of God, and we talked about that, is that's what God wants. That God says, are you righteous? He asked the question, are you righteous? What would their answer be?
I keep the law.
I'm saying legitimately today, you. I'm not talking about somebody back there.
No.
Are you righteous? You would have to say what?
No.
No. You would have to agree with God. He just wrote it. He says, are you? You might be righteous to me. I might be righteous in your eyes, but you don't follow me. You don't see me at home. I don't see you at home, at work. So I might say, yeah, you know, that's a pretty good guy. I don't have anything on him. But you're only six people away from exposure. You just haven't got to the right guy yet. See, I can, you guys, one, two, three, four, five of you. Frank, yeah, Frank's a great guy. But that sixth person that comes in and he says, let me tell you something about Frank. And there goes my righteousness. But God says this, the righteousness that I require, he says, pretty much I supplied it myself. He says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. That is his son's, not what his son's, faithfulness, even by the faith of Jesus Christ. He says, that's what I require, is faithfulness. Complete faithfulness. Total faithfulness. Do you have that? Do you have that? Total, morning ladies. Total, complete faithfulness. Commitment. Loyalty. You know, we discussed those things. Those are some of the things that the law demands. And I don't want to belabor that point, but the first commandment is, do you know what the first commandment is?
Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
It's kind of like 1A, 1, hello there. Good to see you. The first commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the first one. Usually, in order, the first one is the most important, right? And James says this, if you offend in one point, you offend in all. He said, if you miss one, don't worry about the other nine. So I'm going to ask you this. You don't have to answer this unless you want to. Can you get past number one? Can you get past the first commandment? Those who came in. Do you love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Yeah, I love him. That's see, that'll work for me. But God says, no, that doesn't work for me. Because I can't compromise my justice for your good intentions. I know you intended to be good, but I can't go on intentions. I have to go on execution. I mean, you got to do it. You can't just want to do it. You got to do it. And he said, can you do it? So, yeah. No. Can you do it? No. The next verse, he says, for all have what? Sin and come short of the glory of God. All that you raise your hand.
All?
Yeah, all. Just want to make sure that, you know, some of the all, you don't get in the all. But you still think that, you know, he's not talking about me. He's talking about them. You know, there's a lady on Tuesday night. She said, I asked her, I said, well, open up in prayer before we start. And she's praying and she's like, Lord, do something about these people that's killing, these shootings. And she got through, and I said, I'm not trying to pick with you, but what do you want them to do? You said, do something about it. What do you want them to do? You want them to get them? You want God to get the shooters that's shooting people? What do you want to do? And she said, well, I don't know, just so he can stop it. I said, well, have you ever thought about that what he wants to do, he's doing? And that he doesn't have anything to do with the shootings? She said, I don't understand. I said, do you think that God could stop it if he wanted to? I'm asking you all that. Do you think he could stop it if he wanted to?
Yeah.
Why doesn't he?
Because that's not what he's doing.
See, that's the, we shrinking him down to your personal errand God. Your expectations. Now, think about this. Suppose he did the shooters like he did Sodom and Gomorrah.
Well, he would no longer be extending grace.
That's exactly. Now, suppose one of those, okay, say for example, when God was doing things like that, there was a man named Saul. And God could have done something. Couldn't he? But when he should have done something, he did what they didn't expect. He reached down and saved his chief enemy and saved him. And he says, there's no reason why he deserved that. He said it. Paul said that himself. He says, I was an injurious, a blasphemer, a persecutor, but I obtained mercy that in me first, Jesus Christ, might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them that should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. He said, what does all that mean? He says, listen, I was an enemy. I was a murderer. I was persecuting the church. God should have done something to me. And when I got there, he said, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he says, who art thou, Lord? And he says, I'm the man that's about to do something. But he didn't do what everybody thought he should do, which was kill him. He saved him and sent him to be the messenger to the world that, you know what, God is doing something today, and it's all because of his grace. It's not because you deserve it. He said, you can obtain mercy just like me. He didn't do anything good. As a matter of fact, the things that he thought was good for God, he said that it was actually pushing me away from God. You know what he was doing, Mike? He was going to church. He was going to the synagogue, wasn't he? And God says, hey, I've been gone from the synagogue for a few years now. Hello? Do you know he wasn't in the synagogue, don't you?
Right. The temple that curtain was around.
He said, I've been keeping the law for a while now.
Blameless.
And you know what he said about the law? He said, I've already put it away. Huh? But you know what, y'all looking at me funny. Philippians chapter 3. So I don't want you to go out here and say, you know what? You know what that guy said? He said the law was gone. Philippians 3, verse 4. This is Paul. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. What is he saying, really?
He's saying if any man thought that he could that he was righteous, that he would be even more righteous.
Yeah, he said, if any man thought, if you think you're pleasing God by your activity, he says, I'm better than you. What? He said, look, if that was the standard. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. Let me give it to you, 2019. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't gamble. I don't steal.
I tithe.
I don't chase men. I don't chase women. Right? I tithe. I've been baptized twice. What's your list? You want to add something to it? What's your confidence in the flesh? I'm thinking, you don't have any? Yeah, everybody have some that they think. He says, if you think you are doing something good, I am doing more. That's what your apostle said. He says, I'm doing more. He says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now see, if you're not familiar with a Jewish history, that doesn't mean a whole lot to you. But when he says circumcised the eighth day, that was the standard. If a Jew wasn't circumcised the eighth day, he was cut off from the people. He had to be circumcised. That was his way and his parents' way of saying he's dedicated to God and he will be dedicated to God. He will, as a matter of fact, we talked about circumcision, that he is not trusting in the flesh. He's going to trust in Jehovah. So if a man wasn't circumcised, God says, I don't want to have anything to do with him. Now, that's the physical part back then. Paul says, I was circumcised the eighth day. I kept that standard. He says, of the tribe of Benjamin, that was a tribe that didn't desert the Lord, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. You know, if a Jew could trace his lineage back, you know, he says, I'm a full-blooded Hebrew. You know, if you ever know people who buy dogs, they have papers, you know, like, it shows that, you know, I have a pit bull that came from pit bull mother and father, who came from a pit bull mother and father. So, you know, he got a pure blood dog. Paul's saying, my family never left. They never intermingled. I can't go back and let me say it today like this. And pardon me for if this is a little controversial. Is, you know, some white families don't want to intermix, or black families. So that's the big thing. And they can say, look, there ain't no mix in my family. Paul said that I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning, touching the law, a Pharisee. Those are the ones that was a strict adherence to the law. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the resurrection. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Michael, you know what dung is? Mia? Celeste? It sounds like... like waste. Yeah, she said it sounds like waste. That's right. We won't use modern day terms, but he says, what I did, my list, he said, that's dung. You know, that ain't. You hold it up and they say, how you like that? And you can answer. And Paul says, I used to think a lot about what I did. He said, but now I know, Michael, it's dung compared to his righteousness, to his faithfulness. See, oftentimes you're gonna find this. If you put a religious guy to the test, as hard as he's going for it, that's how far away he's going from what God really wants. You say, wait a minute. Paul said, I was full steam ahead that way. But he was going away from the cross, not to it. That's why, back to Romans, he says that he set his son forth to be a propitiation. I'm satisfied with his performance. Are you?
Mm-hmm. Grateful.
See, it's what did he do? See, you know what?
Now, he paid the price I couldn't pay.
He paid a price you couldn't pay. Now, I'm thinking that Mia's getting ready to go off to school. See, when she gets up there, she's going to have something in her mind that's going to stabilize her. Because when she gets to the college level, she's going to hear some things she ain't never heard before. You're like what? Like this. It ain't no God. It ain't no God. Yeah, Jesus Christ was a fictional character.
Everything's material.
Wow. Really? So, look. See, if she had learned anything up to now, that's going to be hard. That's going to be hard. See, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So all you need is some worldly information to offset the little scripture that you got. And as soon as they shake your tree, then you know where it's just like Romans 1. We just got out of that. Is he's going to give you up to your own mind. He's going to give you up to your own affections. He's going to give you up to your own desires. And guess what? That's always good, Johnny.
Relevant.
Right?
Relevant.
It always results in more sin, more disconnect. And he says, that's what he says, they are worthy. They are worthy of death. The people that do those things, he said, they're worthy of death. They deserve it. Now, back to 3, he says, now, the all sin comes short of the glory of God, being justified
freely
through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, we talked about the propitiation, which was, how is God able to do that? How is he able? In the Old Testament, we talked about the mercy seat, which you had the cherubims on the side, right? That's your angels, cherubim, overshadowing the mercy seat. Let me make a distinction here. This chest, this is the lid, which is the mercy seat. That's where the blood was sprinkled to atone for the sin that had been committed. That was back in the Old Testament. See, this is before the Lord came. In the tabernacle, you know when the tabernacle meant that God was among those people, right? The first thing that God told Moses to make was this. He said, "Make first the ark." That's this, and on the top of the ark, put this mercy seat. That. He says, right here is where I'm going to meet you and commune with you. I'm going to show up here between the cherubim. And that's where I'm going to talk to you. And he said, anybody who wants to come in, come there.
No.
No.
Only one man.
One man. He said, I need one man to come in here. And that man was called who?
High
the high priest. All right, that's my high priest. Just an example. Now, this man, even this man, is a type of Christ. We're going to say type, that this man stood for Christ. And that man went in with a lamb, which is another type of Christ. And he said his son was the propitiation, which is called the mercy seat. So all this is another what? Type of Christ. What are you picking up already?
It's all about Christ.
It's all about him.
He does it all.
He does it all. Look, he brings the offering. He is the offerer. And he's offering it. Who said that? To what?
To himself.
That's why God says that God has set him forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. So the man comes in as a type of Christ, offers a sacrifice, sprinkles it on the mercy seat. And inside the mercy seat, we talked about this, it was the commandments, right? Mm-hmm. The pot of manna and Aaron's rod that budded. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
No. I'm going to quote a lot of verses because I don't want to take too much time out. But the law, they broke the law. You know they broke the law, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the scripture said this, that the man that could do them,
he shall live in.
He'll live in them. Now, he put the law, he said, put these three things. Look at Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse, let's see, where am I? 9, I'm sorry, 9. Start at verse 1. He says, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was a golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. Now, notice this. But into the second went the high priest. What's the next word?
Alone.
Alone once every year, not without
blood.
Which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet manifest while the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices. Notice. That could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by
his own blood,
his own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained temporary redemption for us.
Eternal.
What?
Eternal
redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, how much more will he purge your conscience from your two-cent works?
From dead works.
Well, I meant, yeah, your dead works to serve the living and to serve the living God. How much more? How much more, Angie? How much more? How much more will he clear your mind from the things you think you bring to the table? Okay, I didn't say that right, did I? How much more will he get out of your mind that your works mean nothing to what he did for you? It's still not good, is it? How much more does he have to do from shedding his eternal blood, saying that he obtained eternal redemption? How much more can he do to give you confidence
that he's
taking care of your problem? Which is you.
The problem lies with my belief or belief.
Which is he? What else could he do? Not you. What else could he do?
He's done it.
Once. So he said all this. He said that was just temporary. Temporary. He did it, but he was just standing in for me as an example. And he offered a lamb without spot, which is until I could offer myself without spot. And he said he went in to the holiest of all. That's before I could come in and go to heaven myself. And he offered it to the throne of God, the mercy seat, which is a type, he said, until I could offer it. Now, he says, this is Christ who offered a type of Christ. And he went in to heaven, to the throne, and offered it on the mercy seat, which is Christ, and he offered it to satisfy Christ himself. He said, wait a minute, there's nobody else in the picture. Exactly.
He did it all.
Look, the scripture said this, that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And all things are of
Christ,
who hath reconciled us to himself.
Not imputing our trespasses unto us.
Now, not imputing our trespasses. You know what the law was? You know what that was? That was a list that God kept that he required. And when they broke it, it was called a trespass. And he says the law, that if you sin by the law, you die by the law. But if you can keep it, he said you'll live by the law. That's what Paul said. This was the commandment. It was the ministration of death. Listen, God gave a list, not so they could try to do it, to show them that they couldn't do it. That's why the first one we talked about, the first one was to love him with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. If you're honest. If you're honest. And God says, listen, I know. I'm just telling you, I need you to agree with me. I know you can't do it. Just admit. Admit to me that you can't. And there's an answer for you. He said, if you admit, I have a way to help you. When they took that pot of manna, he told them, he said, listen, go out 6 days and I'll feed you. I'll make a provision for you. I'll provide your bread. The seventh day, he says, the sixth day, get twice as much. Because the seventh day, it won't be there. And they went out, and you know what they did, because they loved the Lord with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. They went out on the seventh day. That's what he told them not to do. And he said, take this pot and put it up. Watch this. This Exodus. Hold your hand there. Exodus.
So was the pot they put in, it wasn't the empty pot, it was the overfilled,
it was
full of worms?
No. This Exodus, where that's Exodus 16. I want you to notice this. 16:29. I tell you what, 16:25. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. This is the manna. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. How much?
None.
Okay. I want you to pretend that you're in the tribe, you're in the tent, and I come in to you and I say, today's the sixth day. And you say, what are we going to have today? And I tell you what I told you yesterday. You know what I told you yesterday, Melissa? We're going to have manna. And you say, again? Yep, again. So we go out, sixth day, and Moses, he says this, gather it today. Because on tomorrow it won't be there. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long this now, this is what he want. This is what he's getting at. How long what? Refuse you to do what I ask. You know, he asking the same question today, Johnny. How long are you going to refuse to do what I'm asking? What's your answer? Celeste, what's your answer?
I'm unable to do this.
Nah, okay. Yeah, that's a good answer. Now, he said this. See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day 2 days, bread of 2 days. Listen, there's something in that. He said, I don't want you out there working on the seventh day, because the seventh day means something to me. It means rest day. Don't do any work. That's why I'm making a provision for you today, that you don't have to work anymore. Okay. He says, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commandeth. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations. Notice that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron said, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. And the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. Now, that's the same thing in Hebrews where he says, put that pot in there, lay it up, so they can remember. He says, what are they remembering about that pot? You just read it. What are they remembering?
That they rebelled when God was trying to.
That they rebelled.
And that God is the one that provides.
But there also, he says, lay it up so you will know how I provided for you in your rebellion. Whoa. See, you didn't. He said, don't forget. Look, don't just focus on that. Focus on that. Same way with the Aaron's rod that budded. He told Aaron, he said, put it in here, keep it for a token against the rebels. Uh-oh. Numbers 17:10. Now, he says, and Moses, verse 9, and Moses brought out all the rods before the Lord unto all the children of Israel, and they looked and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod before the testimony to be kept for a token, what? Against the rebels, and thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they
die not.
He says, I'm putting that in there so you can remember that I had a way for those rebels to calm them down, that they die not. Because this rod is Aaron. That's my man. That's the man I chose. That man is keeping you from dying. That pot of manna, he says, I provided for you when you rebelled against me. The law, you know you deserve death from that law. He said, but I'm going to provide life in spite of you deserving death. Now, he said, put all that in the ark. You say, I don't get it. Usually you put things in the ark that what? Oh, well, I say.
That are dead.
That, now, see, she said that are dead. But, see, the ark is okay. It. That's the first, they used it in Genesis 50 as a coffin. Now, you follow me on this before we run out of time. When Moses' parents, right, saw that Pharaoh was destroying all the male children, the scripture said that they made an ark because he was dead. The baby was dead.
No, he was alive.
No, the baby was alive. Why did they make an ark? To what? to rescue him. They made the ark to deliver him. From death and danger.
Form of salvation.
Form of salvation. Joseph is in Egypt. You know who Joseph is, right? And he died. And he said, listen, when I die, just bury me here and you guys go and get out of here. What did he say? Y'all never read that story?
Mm-hmm.
All right. He said, when I die, promise me this, that you take this coffin out and take me into that land. Mm-hmm. Now, he is dead. That's why the scripture called it that time a coffin. But it's the same word for ark. Now, why would Joseph say, don't leave me here? Don't leave my bones here.
He believed in resurrection.
He knew that, look, God had promised him that I'm coming and I'm going to deliver these people out of this land
into their own land.
Into their own land.
So he knew the promise.
He knew the promise. He said, you know what? And don't leave my bones here. And you know what I like? Just little things like this. The scripture said, and they just put it in there. And they embalmed him.
Preserved.
With spices. Joseph, you know, in case you didn't know, is a type of Christ. We do that today, is we embalm. You know where we got that from? Matter of fact, you know where we even got coffins and embalming from? It's from the Egyptian practice. The Egyptians, they believed in an afterlife. Wonder where they got that from. See, we think this. We think this. This is a universal subject. But you put it in your back pocket. So what you mean? This is a universal subject. You know this. When I say universe, this is universal. What we're talking about, Christ, his death, this is universal. All cultures have a form of this. But I say, you put it in your back pocket. You know what? You go into church and you say, what the Lord going to do for me today? You done took that and put it, you done took a universal principle and put it in your pocket like it's all yours. Like the only reason he around is for you. Like he ain't got something else going on. Okay, I didn't say that right either, did I? Every week, the classes, you know, we go to classes and you go in and you say,
it's all, in other words,
the Lord going to bless me.
What's in it for me?
How's he going to bless me?
Right.
How's he going to bless me today? Personal. How's he going to, what's under the tree today for me? And he says, how much more can I bless you? I'm giving you eternal life. I'm giving it to you. All right, Romans 3. But he said, look, all this is, it's a type not of death. It's deliverance. Preservation. Where he preserved you through the danger. And that's why, look, that's why he said, the first thing I want you to make, Moses, is the ark. And on top of that, put the mercy seat. I can't preserve you. I can't deliver you without satisfying my justice. See, I just can't deliver you in your badness. Right? What if when Adam sinned, the first thing God said, you got to get out of here. Why? Why, Melissa? He said, you got to get out of here unless you do what? Before you do what? Take of the tree of life and eat it and live forever. Well, that's, he could have ate it before he sinned, couldn't he? Couldn't he? Why did God, as soon as he sinned, says, get him out?
So he wouldn't live forever in a fallen state.
So he wouldn't live forever in his badness. He said, he cannot be here. Same way, look, he says, I can't overlook your badness. I got to deal with that. That's where the mercy seat comes at. That's where he said, I'm satisfied with my son and what he did. So put my son over the ark, which is, look, I know you're bad. I know you're a rebel. I know you're disobedient. But I'm going to find a way. I got a way. I'm providing for your deliverance and your salvation that you die not. But you got to meet me there. That's what he said, right? The mercy seat, he said, meet me there. The priest, he made the atonement there. The blood was shed there. So when Christ shed his blood in your stead, didn't he? Mm-hmm. He says, I want you to know that now I want you to know. He said that I'm just.
And
the justifier. He said, and this gift is unto all.
But upon all them that believe.
But upon all, he says. He says, I've dealt with your problem. All of it. He says, and I will declare you righteous. He said, I'll do it. I will. Not me, but God said, I will declare you righteous. If he does, is it good?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody would say, look, Tamika righteous. And they say, who? When? And all she had to say is, you know who told me that? My father told me that. Take it up with him. You're not going to win that one. See, you know what? Like he said, not to me. It ain't his. Look. So what? And likewise, you say Johnny is righteous. And she said, who? Who told you that? And he'll say, you know what? My father did. You can't argue with that. You might not like it, but you like it for you, don't you? Yeah. I'll take it, but he can't have it. Right, Mike?
Yeah.
I'll take it, but it can't be for the next guy, can it? He can overlook mine. He can pay for mine, but it can't, not yours. See, that's why he said, I'm just, not you. That's why I did it. See, you know what? If he left it up to you, Louise, if he left it up to one of us, We'll say, you know what, I'm going to die for them, but not them three right there. Not them three. Well, why not? Well, see, I got my own idea about them three. And the Lord says, I died for all. That Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for all to be testified at the right time. The right time is now. It's God's will that all men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. He says, I'm just and the justifier of him that keeps the law.
Which believeth in Jesus.
I'm just and the justifier of him that doesn't miss a Sunday.
Which believeth in Jesus.
I'm just and justifier of him that pays the tithe.
Which believeth in Jesus.
Which what?
Believeth in Jesus.
Believeth what in Jesus?
That he took care of it.
That he
justified me.
That he redeemed you. Your sins have been remitted by him. God is satisfied with him. Right? And he said, not just that, he said, but I am going to impute to you my righteousness. How right is that?
Righter than right.
The righteousness of God. He says, look, it's unto all.
Without distinction.
But it's upon all
that believe.
Now, here you go.
They have to receive the gift.
Have you got out of the unto to the upon? You say, what you mean? Okay. Even for the kids, the young adults, is... He died for you. You know, he didn't die for adults. He died for all. He didn't die for women. He died for all. Look, he's sitting here. You know he died for you? You ain't even got your good sin in yet. y'all don't like that. Y'all know what I'm talking about, though, right? Yeah, huh? Yeah. See that? See how you do? Why you say that?
Because you're a man.
Don't you know it's coming? Hello?
Yeah.
Yours too. Some of you in the middle of it right now. Some of us in the middle of it right now. See, that don't like that kind of talk. Because that's too real. Who you kidding? You ain't kidding you. You ain't kidding God, and you sure ain't kidding me. You know how I know?
Because you're hurting him too.
He says, this is your day to get the righteousness of God. You know what? Stop trying. He said, look, I've done all this for you, that you can have eternal salvation. All you have to do is believe. Look, I'm satisfied with my son. And with his performance. For you. He says, look. This is the gospel that I preach unto you. Whereby you are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. He said, I wrote this down for you. He said, and this will save you if you believe what he did. Paul says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and God took a stamp and said, he's righteous. And he said, was this written for Abraham alone? He said, no, for us too. If we believe on him that was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification, that is, to pronounce you righteous. You know why God, raised his son up? Because he was satisfied with the sacrifice. Not for himself, for you. No, one more thing. Now, we're going to pick up in 26 next week. But remember, we looked at the scapegoat where the priest took in two sacrifices. Remember that? Mm-hmm. He offered one for the sins of himself and for the people, and they offered him. And the other one, he confessed their sins on the head of the animal, and they let him go into the wilderness to a land not inhabited. Let me ask you something. How many sacrifices does it take for their sins to be remitted back then?
I'm sorry,
let me ask this another way. Why did he kill one for sin and then let one go for sin? Let me say it this way. They took one, offered him for the sins. That's you. That's it, right? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Then he confessed the sins on the head of the other one and let him go alive. What's going on here? Ah, he's just and the justifier. And somebody asked this question. Well, what about the sins after this? See, okay, you trust him today, right? What about next week? What about what you stop sinning all of a sudden? What about next week? What about next week?
He's satisfied at all.
He would have had to in order for him to have been just.
That's why they confess it on the head and let him go. That's a type of the resurrection. That's why Christ was raised for your justification. Look, the sacrifice is ongoing. It's eternal. So when he said, look, I took care of your sin problem, guess what? See, if he didn't get up, you say, well, he died for my sins up to that point. Ah. But God said, no. He said, but I raised him up. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again that you could stay clean. For how long? That's what he said this. How long is the forgiveness for the Day of Atonement? That lamb, when he let that lamb go, it only lasted for a year. He had to come back and do it again next year. But Christ, he said, look, I'm done. All that stuff was a dress rehearsal. I'm doing it now, one time for all. We'll have to go through this again. You know your sin's gone? See, I know you're drawing up because I used to. You'd be like, they all gone. Like, what? All of them? Sound serious? You look, Mike. You're like, they all, yes, they all gone.
I can do whatever I want to do.
See, that's a lack of gratitude and knowledge. He said, I can do what I want to do. You've been doing that for a long time. That's why he said, number one, it's imputed to you. That is, you don't deserve it.
And also, because it's been imputed to you, your identity's been changed.
When I got stung with that wasp, I'm allergic to wasps. And my face was, I couldn't even see. And you know what? That what we talk. I got a pen. And I imputed myself. I injected something into me that's not normally in me. That's what M-I-M is. When you impale something, you put some. He says, I'm imputing unto you my righteousness. That is, I'm putting something, after you trust me, I'm putting something into you that you don't naturally have. That's why I'm giving it to you. And when I did that, guess what happened? My face began to be the pretty face that you see. No, I thought I'd get a chuckle out of that. But what happens to when that righteousness is imputed to you, then you become that person that you never were before.
That new creature.
And it's not temporary. It's permanent. In spite of you. Believest thou this? Look,
wonderful news.
He done a lot for us. And all he's asking, look, is for you to believe. Right. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time we spent in it. We just pray that you would strengthen us as we read and believe your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.